Hey Madison, it's Michael. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Michael. How are you?
I am awesome. You're in Providence, is that right?
Correct, in Rhode Island.
Yeah, Rhode Island. Nice. You're going to Brown, right?
Yep.
Where are you from originally, or where's your family from originally? I guess is the better question.
I love this question. It usually goes on for a while.
Good.
So I was born in Chicago and I moved around a bunch between Montreal, Canada, Kobe, Japan, Tokyo, Japan, Singapore, and then eventually Bangkok, Thailand, where my family is still located. And my parents have also a very mixed background. My dad is European American and my mom is Chinese Thai, but she grew up abroad.
Wow.
So that's the long story.
That's a really great answer. But I think, to be fair, I think that's becoming more and more common. Maybe it's just the circles that I run in, but it seems to me that nobody's really from anywhere anymore. And as the world gets smaller and smaller, the likelihood of sort of a European American man meeting a Thai Chinese woman just get higher and higher. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I've met so many other people my age who are like, oh, same here. I've lived in just as many countries, and I don't really know where I'm from either.
Yeah, and it's funny for me, and I'd talk about this too. How old are you?
I'm 19.
You're 19, right? So in a few years, you'll be the same age that I was when I left the United States. And I haven't lived in the US since I left.
Wow.
That was almost 30 years ago. So I lived my entire adult life basically in Tokyo. So I'm interested in what your family was doing in Kobe, actually. Like, do you have memories of Kobe?
Yeah, I do. Great ones.
Tell
So
me.
my dad was working in Osaka and we lived in Shioya near Kobe.
Awesome.
And at the time, I had actually been in a bilingual school before and I had to learn French until I was fluent before I could learn English. So my mom homeschooled me and my brothers to catch up on my English. And I had so much time at home to explore the bamboo forest and to go beetle fighting and to eat great food, so I loved it.
So which school did you go to then?
In Japan or Montreal?
In Montreal.
In Montreal, I went to a school called Ville Marie Montessori School.
Ah, right. That makes sense now.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you then moving to Japan? Do you speak Japanese as well? How long were you there?
I was in Kobe for 2.5 years and then Tokyo for 8 months. So every time I moved to a new country, I would start picking up the language. But unfortunately, as soon as I moved and I switched to the next language, I would leave the other one behind and switch all my focus to the next one. So one thing that's on my list is to go back and restore all those languages.
Yeah, language is one of those things where if you don't use it, you kind of lose it, right? But in a way, it's like bicycle riding. It's always there in the back of your mind at some to some extent, no?
Yeah, exactly. It just needs to be dug up. Do you speak Japanese?
Well, I lived in Japan for 22 years. So
Wow.
if I didn't speak Japanese, I'd be kind of embarrassed.
Fair enough.
I think. I don't know. Anyway, so but you ended up living in Thailand for how long?
I lived there for 6 years before coming to Rhode Island.
So 6 years and you're 19. So that's most of your life? Was that the longest place you've ever lived or not really? Was that Canada? It's hard for me to remember now.
Yeah, correct. Thailand was the longest, so it feels like home to me.
Right. So Japan feels like home to me. Like I said, I spent my entire adult life there. But it gets back to this concept of where are you from? So what does it teach you though? Like if you have no sort of home country, what does it mean or how do you put into perspective other kids or other people that you meet that are definitely from one place, right? Like, let's say you meet somebody, pick a place, from France. They're definitely French. They've lived in France their whole lives. And then they end up at Brown. Like, what's your view on the idea that you've lived in a bunch of different places in just the 19 years that you've been alive and someone who grew up just in Paris? What do you think the differences are?
I think there's a much bigger culture shock, and because I've constantly been moving and having to readjust, to readapt, it's made the process of readjusting very easy because I'm so used to it.
Right.
And there was a certain point in my life where if we didn't move, I'd be like, oh, what's going on? When are we picking up next? So the opposite became the norm, whereas for a lot of people, consistency is the norm. So I think
Right.
it makes the transition a lot easier. And now In fact, Rhode Island feels like one of my homes. And I think it changes the way you interact with a lot of other people, where they might represent one culture that you haven't seen as much and been exposed to. But because I've traveled around a lot more, it becomes less of the most prominent feature about someone.
When you were at BPS, the Bangkok Patana School, right?
Yeah.
But when you were there, and I don't know, right, because my daughter goes to NIST, but when you were there, was the student body transient or was it relatively stable for the 6 years that you were there? You graduated from there as well, right?
Yeah, there was a lot of moving around, as a lot of expat communities go. There was a lot of students who also took off when IB came around. They're like, oh, I'm going for the A-levels. I'm going to the UK or I'm transferring to another school.
Right.
And I'd say, I think around 20 to 30% of the class changed every year.
Did it really?
Yeah, at least that's what it seemed like to me.
And at some point, did you really feel like, I just want to graduate from BPS and kind of get this part of my schooling life over with? Or were you comfortable, like, I don't know how many years it was, but like after you'd been there for 4 years with 2 years left, if your mom and dad had come to you and said, okay, we're going to India now and there's, you know, the American school in Mumbai or whatever it is, would that have been okay? Or was it just tiresome?
Yeah, I would have loved to move, and I also would have loved to stay put. I think one of the after effects of moving around so much is that I don't have a huge preference towards where I'm going, which is good and bad, because when people ask, oh, what kind of university do you want to go to, somewhere rural or somewhere urban, I really had no idea. It was really hard to narrow it down. But if they had said, we're going to move to India, I would have been happy with that. And if they said, which they ended up saying, we're just going to stay here, it was also nice to have one place where I could spend the rest of my high school years. I think if anything, it was more the academic transition that would have been hard because of the IB program, and they didn't want to move me in between that.
Right.
So it worked out.
Right. I mean, let me give you a little bit of perspective from my side. I went to three different high schools.
Wow.
And yeah. And by the time I was moving to the last one, I honestly looked at my parents and I was like, okay, this is the last time. Like, I'm not moving from here. I have 2 years left and I'm not doing my junior year, my senior year in a different place. And I think it impacted me in a way, like I feel like you in a way where I feel pretty adaptable. But at some point I got to Tokyo and I was like, that's it. I'm going to stay here for as long as I possibly can. And now that I've been in Thailand for 6 years as well. And now I feel like I'm just going to stay. So mm-hmm. I have that consistency. I don't know. And I think both are good, right? You're right. The ability to adapt and sort of be chameleon-like, no matter where you go, you can sort of fit in, I think is a good thing.
Yeah. Why did you move around so much during high school?
So same thing. You know, my dad's job was, you know, I was living in Connecticut. Then we moved to Pennsylvania. And it was just because of my dad's employment. That was it. I mean, I presumed when you move, it was either your mother's job or your father's job as well, no?
Yeah, exactly. My dad's job.
What does your dad do?
He works in the medical device business industry. So he was originally with an American pharma company, and now he works for an American medical device company.
Fair enough. So how did you end up at Brown? I'm really curious about how people end up at particular colleges today, right? In other words, I grew up in Connecticut. I went to college in Connecticut. I'm curious, how did you end up there?
Yeah, I was originally considering both the UK and the US, and then I realized I was so undecided, and going to the UK and streamlining my major would not be very great for me. So I was set on the States, and Brown came up on my radar because my counselor actually told me she thought it'd be a good fit for my personality. And at the time, I had no clue what that meant.
Your counselor at BPS said to you, Brown is going to be really good for your personality. Did you ask what that meant? It's a curious thing for a counselor to say.
Yeah, it's funny. At the time, she was referring to the open curriculum, and she knew I had so many different interests. I did a lot of theater and acting. I was also pretty involved in the sciences and community service in high school. I had a ton of interests everywhere, and I couldn't really decide what I wanted to do. And she also thought I was quirky, so she was like, you'll fit right in. And at the time, I was still figuring out what that meant.
No, that's a compliment for sure.
Yeah. So at the time, I'd already planned the list of universities I was going to go visit in the States. And she was like, you have to check out Brown. So I was like, oh, fine, I'll throw it on at the end of my list. So it was the last university I visited. And then I went and I loved it.
What were the other places that you visited?
I visited Duke, Vanderbilt, a couple places in New York, NYU, schools like that. And then I also saw some schools in California and Chicago when I was visiting family. My parents actually met in California, and we have family in Chicago, so we go back there quite often.
Fair enough. It's interesting, though, because Duke, Vanderbilt, all these schools are quite big. NYU is huge and it's really in a city. Brown ends up being the smallest Ivy League school and the most difficult one to get into.
Yeah, it is. It's a small school in a small state.
You're 2 years in, you're a sophomore.
Yep.
What's the difference between living in a place like Providence and living in a place like Bangkok?
Oh, so many differences.
Tell me.
Bangkok is a huge city, and thankfully we have the wonderful BTS and so many modes of transport to get around. It's so different to Providence, where Brown is located on the top of College Hill, and if you walk 5 minutes down the hill, you're right in the heart of Providence. So we've got the theater there, we've got restaurants, we've got an ice skating rink. Everything is right there. Whereas in Bangkok, I actually lived in Samut Prakan, which is an outer district, and we have to cross the bridge to get into Asok, the heart of Bangkok. So it's so different being so close and not having to rely on transport, which was convenient, but also something to consider when you have to sit in hours of traffic or get to the BTS. There's also a great food scene here, but nothing compared to Bangkok. No street food, of course. It's also different because Providence, you have access to a lot of cities like New York and Boston. You just hop on the Amtrak or the MBTA. Whereas Bangkok, it's the major city in Thailand. You can go to Ayutthaya or Pattaya, but you can't go to another major city.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I hadn't thought about it actually. Without getting onto a plane, like you can't get to Chiang Mai, and you can't get to, other major cities in Thailand really without going far away.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you're already in the biggest city in the country, right? Like, do you ever feel like you want to get onto a motorcycle taxi in Providence, but there just isn't one
Yeah,
there?
definitely.
What do you think about the student body at Brown as it compares to BPS?
I think it's a lot more diverse.
A lot more diverse.
Yeah, international schools are already quite diverse, but there was I think around a 20% population of Thais at BPS. There were a lot of British people, and there were hardly any Americans. I remember there was only one or two other Americans in my grade, whereas here at Brown, at least, there's so many international students, and then there's a lot of Americans, and amongst that, there's a lot of people from different states.
So, is your dad originally from the United States? You said he was European American.
Yeah, so his European background is Italian, Irish, Danish, and Welsh, so it's a bit scattered. So he was born in Indiana, but he also spent a couple years abroad because of his dad's work with the military, and he has roots in Europe.
So, do you have brothers and sisters that still live in Bangkok?
Yeah, both my parents are in Bangkok, and I have two younger brothers who both go to Pattaya. One's a senior, and one is in year 9.
So, do you talk to them and tell them about the difference of living in the States and living in Thailand?
Yeah, I do. I think they have a pretty good sense for what the States is like, having spent their summers in California. But California is also so different to the East Coast.
Where in California is your family from?
They're from LA, from Manhattan Beach.
Okay, so.
So, beach town. So, they're used to the laid back SoCal weather, good surfing.
Wow. So what did you say? You said something earlier about you didn't want to streamline your major. What does that mean?
In the UK, you have to apply for one major, and once you get there, you follow that to the end. You might have a little bit of leeway with electives, but you can't take many other classes. And at the time, I was still very undecided about what I wanted to do. When I first applied to Brown, I was thinking of studying biochemistry and film. And then the summer before I got here, I was like, why don't I try engineering? So I've been doing that since, and I'm still considering other options and taking courses in other areas.
What kind of engineering?
That's another good question I've been trying to figure out. I was thinking biomedical, and then I wanted to try mechanical and electrical just to see what the other areas were like. I think now if I end up doing engineering, it'll be biomedical or doubling that with design, but I'm still very undecided. It changes every day.
What was the highest level of mathematics that you studied when you were at BPS?
Standard, and I didn't take physics. So you can imagine the struggle I felt.
Well, that's kind of what I'm asking. Look, I love when people that aren't destined to be sort of in mathematics say, I want to be an engineer. And that is a little quirky, but that's fabulous. And I mean that in the best possible way. But I'm curious what it's like for you in the classes, whether they're engineering classes or mathematics classes or science classes. Like, are there other people with a similar background to you in those classes, or is it very different than you are?
There's a couple other students who came in fresh. They hadn't taken advanced physics or math classes before, but the majority of people had that background. I did find I was struggling a lot more than my peers, but I think it's also good because it took away my feelings that, oh, I've got this math and physics background. I'm expected to know everything. So I was a lot more shameless in showing that I wasn't understanding the material.
So do you ask questions in class? In other words, when the professors are teaching things you don't understand, you just raise your hand and say, I don't get that.
Sometimes, or I go to office hours where we can talk it out.
Got it. And what are the class sizes like there?
The intro classes are, I think, around 100 to 300, depending on the area of study. Engineering is a lot smaller. Some of my smaller classes are 20 to 60 people.
Wow, that's really large. Is that different than it was when you were here in school?
Yeah, so different. My classes, for example, my Chinese class, I think we had five or six people in my IB Mandarin class. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you graduate with a what is it called, a bilingual degree?
No, I took Mandarin B, so it was just English as my first language.
And does anybody else in your family or in your house speak Mandarin?
My mom knows a little bit just from hearing other people speak when she lived in Singapore, and my
Right.
dad, he knows a couple words. He listens to podcasts and he knows a bit to get around, but it's mostly my brothers and I that have been studying it.
And what was the impetus there? If there are only five kids in the class, that doesn't mean it means clearly that not a lot of people were doing it. Was it difficult? Were you scared about it? Like, what was the deal with that?
Yeah, I think a lot of parents push their kids to start learning Mandarin when
Maybe.
they were in middle school or the start of high school at Patana, and a lot of them really didn't end up liking it because it's one of the hardest languages to learn, and the characters are really daunting because they're unlimited. No one knows all of them. A lot of people tried it, and then they said they didn't want to do it for IB. And a lot of native speakers take it as a class.
Right.
So I think it feels a lot more intimidating knowing you're up against those kinds of people. And when there are other options like going in ab initio to a language you can start fresh from and not have to get to such an advanced level for IB, that can
Right.
be a lot more accommodating when you're doing the entire diploma.
So when do you have to decide what your major is going to finally be?
Technically, sophomore spring, but Brown's known for letting a lot of students change last minute.
And what is it like? Is this the first time in your life that for an extended period of time you've lived alone, meaning without your family around?
Yeah.
And has that been a big adaptability thing for you as well, or has it just come pretty easy?
It came a lot easier because I was so used to moving around. I definitely miss my family a ton, but I haven't found myself homesick and just wanting to curl up in my room for a while to kind of get over that. But I do miss them and I talk to them a lot, which I think helps. And I see them over the holidays, so
Right.
I'm able to just immerse myself here. And I have a lot of other things to keep me busy, so I think that definitely helps.
Yeah, look, you don't sound to me like a young lady that's going to curl up in a ball and kind of hide in your room. That is also a compliment, by the way. Did you feel like when you got to school that you were prepared as well as the rest of the students that were there, or did you feel like you were ahead of them, behind them?
I think in engineering, I definitely felt behind. There were a lot of classes where everyone had that foundation, or professors would reference sort of general physics education that I definitely missed out on. But
Right.
I think I did learn a lot of the softer skills, like time management and how to write a research paper from the EE. A lot of other skills that IB definitely prepares you for. It's just those specific skills in physics and math that I didn't have.
Right. I mean, look, that's one of the things that I really appreciate, about the IB program, that it really seems to me that it's teaching you how to learn, not necessarily what to learn, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, just the whole idea of like, here's the rubric, here are the things that you should be able to get out of this, here's something you've never read before, and now do an analysis based on all the things that we've taught you, I think is a great way to learn, no?
Right. And with the IAs, it teaches you critical reading and how to apply those skills to everything else you learn, because we're always going to be constantly learning throughout life.
There's this whole concept of being like a global thinker, right? That whole day-to-day life in school and in Providence as well is very different than being at BPS and being in Bangkok, right? Because, BPS is kind of a smallish campus as well in relation to the size of the city, but you exist mostly in the city itself, which is sprawling and dynamic and in some ways hectic, right?
Yeah.
So I went to a school as well that was literally up on a hill, and to do anything you had to walk down. So it sounds like Brown is in a similar situation. You know, we lived in these old stone buildings. By the time I was a sophomore, I had my own room inside a dormitory. It was very sort of exclusive in a way. not in a fancy way, but it excluded the rest of the town around us, right? And I had always wished that I'd gone to school in kind of a bigger place. But that may be this case of the grass is always greener. I'm just curious how you feel, again, going from a really large place into a kind of smaller place.
It's funny because when I first arrived back in Providence this summer and I was flying back from Thailand, I heard someone, a local, say, oh, now Providence is kind of back and alive because all the students had returned.
Right.
Which I found so funny because we make up a large part of the city. It's still a huge place, but I think a lot of the events, a lot of the engagement comes from Brown and also RISD, which is the design school we have next door. Whereas in Bangkok, there's so many other international schools. If we dropped off the face of the earth, I don't think too many people in the city would notice.
Now that you're living alone, right, this sense of freedom that you have, do you travel to New York? Do you travel to Boston? Can you get on a plane and go somewhere to California maybe just without asking? Or is it still something where you have to call your parents and say, hey, do you mind if I go to New York this weekend?
I definitely keep my parents in the loop with everything, but I have the freedom where I can go where I want as long as I'm paying for it. So that gives me freedom. And then I always talk to my parents about what I'm doing anyways, just to keep in touch. So it's freedom, but it's also, they're still in the loop.
So do you have a job on campus? Do you work?
I worked part-time last semester for a company I also interned with over the summer, but currently I'm not working officially. I'm just working on startups and side projects.
So what does that mean, working on startups? That's interesting to me.
So I'm currently working on Koi Prosthetics, which is a team here at Brown that's working on lower cost prosthetics for Southeast Asia. And I'm also working on a minimalist apparel brand called Kazari.
That's awesome. And what do you do for them?
For Koi Prosthetics?
Yeah, for both.
Yeah, so Koi Prosthetics is designing and engineering a full-length leg for amputees. And we're working on making that low cost. There's a lot of R&D that's going on. And then for Kazari, starting from ground up. So I had never actually pictured myself doing fashion, but I realized there was only 10% of my wardrobe that I wear 90% of the time that I think a lot of girls can relate to. I set out trying to design some minimalist apparel with my co-founder, and I just YouTube a bunch of things, read some blogs over the summer, and try to design a pair of pants. And we found this new material that's sustainable, it's durable, and we thought, let's try it with that. We've just got our first sample in, we're doing some user testing, and now we're proceeding with making alterations and trying to create a finished product.
That's awesome. It sounds to me, just in the sort of 25 or 30 minutes that we've been on this call, that there's kind of nothing you won't try at least once. Is that a fair characterization?
Yeah. I think part of that stems from moving around where...
Yeah.
It's funny because when I was younger, I told my parents, oh, I'll never be moving to Canada. It's so cold there. I'll never be moving to Japan. There's so many earthquakes. And then sure enough, the next place we moved to would be those places. And so it's kind of disproved a lot of my, oh, I'm not going to do that. And a lot of the foods that I think a lot of people say, oh, I'm never going to try that. I've just been curious to try it. And so I don't like to set a list of no's, but just give everything a go at least once and then see if it sticks. And if not, then move on to the next thing.
I like this idea of a list of no's, particularly the part about not having one. But when you interact with people, because most people aren't like that, I don't know if you've noticed, but most people live this kind of life of fear, right? Like, I'm afraid of this, or I'm afraid of that, or I don't want to try that thing because what if I'm not good at it? But it sounds like that's counter to the way you live every day, and that's great. Is there anything that you're afraid of?
That's a really good question. I think...
You can say no, actually. You can say, actually, no, I'm not afraid of anything. And that's fair, right? It doesn't sound like you are.
Nothing pops to mind immediately.
Good.
Something else that I haven't thought of.
And that was really the answer that I wanted is, no, I'm not really afraid. Because I think life is a much richer experience, actually, when you're just not afraid to try different things.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, it reminded me of this instance when one of my good friends from Brown came to visit me over the summer. And we went to this insect restaurant. And we tried a whole bunch of insect dishes that a lot of people were repulsed by when we showed them pictures later, but that's kind of the fun in it.
I love the fact that you had to struggle to answer, what are you afraid of?
Yeah, I'm sure something will come up in the future, but for now, it's just exploring.
I love it. Look, this was a great conversation for me. I don't want to take up any more of your time. I just want to say thank you for doing this, and I really appreciate it. It was great to meet you.
Thank you, Michael.